Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time. You tune me in by the way of WION I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM over in the low Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome each and every one of you. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM M106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others are tuning me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome each and every one of you. Some of you are listening by the way of my website. My website is Pastor Ken Harger. Bring your mouse up over messages from the Lighthouse, and current media will show up. And then you click on current media, and the first top broadcast is the broadcast for this morning. Whatever way you've joined me, I'm just glad to have you being a part of our time together today. I want to thank those that have helped with the financial part of the broadcast. So a big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond. They live in the building area. A big thank you to Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. And she lives in the Orleans area, and to Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastored for 50 years, still attend there what services I can. And I'd like to give you an invitation to come and join us Saturday evening at 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and then there's a contemporary service at 10:45. And I'd like to have you have an invitation. Also, we have a church over in Greenville. It's located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and LeRae Street, and that service starts at 10 o'clock. And I give you an invitation to come and join whatever service you would like to attend or be a part of. A big thank you goes out to Kay Ann King Singer. She's picked out our music for this morning, and she's done a faithful job. I've been working yesterday. Got the messages ready up until Mother's Day. Just got to shoot them to her now, and then she'll pick out the music. So we've got a pretty good thing going, and it's been a good long time that she has been my helper with the radio broadcast, and I appreciate ministering with her. Well, as we get started for this morning, I need to let you know that today's service is going to be one of talking about different kinds of soil that God said there is. Soil has to do with how we receive God's word. And God's word is going to be the seed that the sower is sowing. And that's what I'm doing as I share the message this morning. I'm sowing the seed of God's word. Then the idea is how you're going to respond to it. In the next few weeks, we're going to share some different ways of responding according to how we receive it in our hearts. And then what's going to lead us up to Easter Sunday. And on Easter Sunday, I want to think about the seed of the resurrection, the hope that we have because of Jesus Christ and what he came to do when he died upon that cross, but greater than that, when he arose, and we celebrate Easter Sunday morning, 2021. And you know something? I love it that Easter comes at this time of the year. That's when we celebrate, and I appreciate that so much because there's been a little spring in the air. We talked about last week, thinking spring, and there's been some spring in the air, and I've been so glad for that. I've enjoyed some of these sunshine days. I even took a little while and sat out on my porch about a half hour, two different days. I had a little blanket I wrapped in and just set it there in the sun and soaked it in. Maybe that'll make me feel a little better. Whatever way we're coming to you, I'm just so happy to be able to share with you the message for this morning. Is one of those kinds of soil is kind of the pathy soil where it's been worked down. And we're going to listen to a song that will tell us about God's grace. All of a sudden becomes amazing grace, and that grace goes to work in each one of our lives. And this song is just gonna help us get ready for the message this morning. I'll take a few moments and I'll be right back.
I remember how it felt when I heard about the cross, and I was thinking to myself, how could I be worth that great a cost? And as the story was unfolding, I heard a voice like I had never known. That's when mercy called my name. That's when love broke every chain. When his blood covered my sin and my life began changing, and grace became amazing. I have walked so many miles, I'm no stranger to the rain, but I'm learning through each trial, healing cannot come without the pain. And on the days I feel defeated, God takes me back to one day long ago. That's when mercy called my name. When love broke every chain, when his blood covered my sin and my life began changing, and grace became amazing. When hope was lost, my soul was found. When my strength was running out, that's when mercy called my name. That's when love broke every chain. When his blood covered my sin and my life began changing, became amazing.
What a beautiful song. When grace became amazing. God's word is throughout that song, reminding us of what this one Jesus came to do for each and every one of us. And I'm just so grateful that that grace became amazing as it works its way into our hearts. And any time we're going through any difficult, like we've been going through this last year, it's almost been a year, they say, this last year, all that we've been going through, we realize that we need that grace that becomes amazing. We, my wife and I, were able to get our first shot, so we handled that pretty well. We're looking forward with not a whole lot of the eye, because I hear people have a little trouble with the second shot, but they really handled it real well, and we were just really glad to be a part of that. Well, now as I share with you for our message this morning, but before we do, we want to have a moment of prayer, because I'm here to minister to you, the listening audience, and I enjoy doing that. But I also want you to know that I enjoy praying for you, whatever it is that you're going through today as an individual. I'd like to be a part of that through prayer. And then if you have an unspoken request, You can think on that unspoken request when I come to that time in my prayer. And remember whatever it is that you're having a heavy time carrying. So let's go to him for a few moments. Dear Father, once again we come to you. And once again, Father, I come to you on behalf of the listening audience. I don't know where they are and how many has tuned me in this morning, but I do know that people listen. And so, Father, I just pray your special blessing to be upon each family represented this morning that is hearing my voice. I pray that your special blessing would rest upon them as I become a seed sower this morning and as I sow the seed of the Word of God. Father, I pray that we would be able to receive the seed into our lives and hearts and to make a lot of difference in what's going on within our life. But Father, most of all, I want to pray for whatever the special needs are of each individual. Every one of us, Father, gone through many different things this past week. And now here we come to the first day of this new week, and we know there's things that's going to come upon us, things that we don't even know about at this point of time. So we just pray that you would just lead us and direct us, give wisdom that is needed, give sense of direction that is needed. Most of all, Father, may we sense your presence with us. You promised you would never leave us, you would never forsake us, you would never abandon us, that you're going to be with us until the ending of the age. And so, Father, we're so glad for your presence. I want to pray this morning for any unspoken requests that the listening audience might have. Right now, as they focus upon that request, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus and asking, would you be pleased, dear Father, to meet their need of their unspoken request according to your will. As they focus upon it, right now, Father, begin to give them some sense of direction. Begin to give them some comfort and encouragement and meet your every need according to your divine and holy will. Now, Father, come and honor your word. We thank you for your word. You tell us in your word that your word does not return void. You send it out for a purpose. And as your word is sent out, then there's things that people can do to respond to your word. So guide us and direct us, I pray, in that wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, you know, folks, the message this morning talking about the seed and the sower went out to seed, sow seed. It's different than here in Michigan when we'll soon see them planting different seeds. Boy, I tell you, some of that equipment they have today is so wide. You know, in the Bible times, they took a bag of seed and they just put their hand in the seed and they just made a swinging motion and then they'd cast the seed. And the seed would fall wherever it was. And the way that it fell was how they grew the crops for that particular year. And we need to realize that Jesus takes the things of his time and he puts them in what is called parables. Parables is a story that is told to explain the things that Jesus was wanting to teach at that time. I found this, it said about parables. Parables are a Jewish style of storytelling. The stories are drawn from ordinary life. I love that. Perhaps unusual contains some element that is strange or unusual, and they are used to illustrate or compare ideas. They do not define things precisely, but they use comparison of points as directions of understanding of how God works. And Jesus in his early life, as he started his ministry, he did the way that the Jewish people would teach him. Only his teaching ended up being a lot different, because I love what they said about his teaching. They said he didn't teach like the scribes and the Pharisees, but he taught with authority. And people started coming not only to be healed, but people started coming to listen to what he had to say because it was reaching into their hearts. You know, when I was first became a Christian when I was 17, one of the things that was said then about a parable was stuck with me all this time, and I really like it. It said, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I like that. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. God's going to take something from earth that everybody can see and understand, something they've all seen in their lifetime, Jesus is going to take, and he's going to tell them a story about sowing the word of God, something from heaven. And that's a very special message for each and every one of us to get a hold of. The seed is the word of God. The soil is how you hear the word of God. In the book of Matthew 13, 10 through 15, this is what they said. After Jesus had been teaching in parables, the disciples asked him, why do you use these stories as illustrations when you speak to people? Jesus answered, knowledge about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you. You folks understand me, Jesus said, as you've been walking with me. But it was not given to the crowd. The crowd does not know all these things that you know, but has not been given to the crowd. Those who understand these mysteries will give more knowledge, and they will excel in understanding them. However, some people don't understand the mysteries. Even what they understand, some of it has been taken away from them. This is why I speak to them in this way. They see, but they're blind. They hear, but they don't listen. They don't even try to understand. So they make Isaiah's prophecy come true. Isaiah, who lived 700 years before Jesus, and one day he wrote, you see clearly and never comprehend. These people have become closed-minded and hard of hearing. Did you hear that? Closed-minded and hard of hearing. They have shut your eyes so their eyes never see. Their ears never hear. Their minds never understand. And they never return to me for healing. You see, Jesus is saying, people have become dull of hearing. People have closed their mind. He said, now you, those disciples that followed him, you're open-minded. You're wanting to learn. That's why you're asking these questions. You're wanting to learn. But the average person in the crowd, he said, they just come and they listen, but they don't hear. They see, but they don't understand. And that's why these stories are being told. Maybe to understand, help their understanding, help them to learn something to be a part of their life. The disciples were wanting to know why that was that way. And you know, I think God said it many times through his son Jesus when he was ministering. If you have ears to hear, if you have ears to hear, we each got two ears. Somebody said we're supposed to listen twice as much as we're supposed to speak. I kind of like that once in a while, that we need to be listening to what's being said. I remember one time when I was visiting in the hospital, the doctor was walking down the aisle and he had about six or seven people walking with him. They were all younger people. The doctor was an older gentleman. And he was getting ready to go into the room across the way from me as I was getting ready to go to room to visit the person I come to see. And I heard him say this to the students. Now, when we get in this room, I want you to listen with both ears, and I want you to watch with both eyes. There's a lesson to be learned today, and we're going to find out if you get the lesson when we come out of the room. I got to tell you, folks, that's what Jesus is saying. You got ears, but you don't listen. You don't comprehend the word of God. And you know, God is saying, before you can obey him, before you can do the things that Jesus wants you to do as an individual, you got to listen so you can understand what it is he wants you to do. And that's important for us to get a hold of this morning. We need to listen to the word of God. We need to be able to listen in order to know what he's saying. So he says, now this seed that God's going to sow, there's different kinds of soil. And one of the soils that we're going to talk about first is a soil that is called a pathway. You know, it is said that in Jesus' day, they didn't put up fences to divide the soil. But in Jesus' day, what there was is there was paths between the soil. So in other words, this farmer owns this farmer owns this much. But there was a path so they could walk. And when I think about that path, it took me right back to my early days being a worker on the farm. And the farmer would say to me, go back and get the cows. Well, I go back in a big field and we start driving the cattle up to the barn for milking time. And you know, those cows would just follow right behind one another. They didn't follow me. Sheep, they follow. But cattle have to be driven. So I'd be behind them and keep talking, and then they would head to the barn. You know, I noticed as I'd walk back to get the cows, there was a path. It was only about 2 feet wide, maybe a little bit more. But that's where the cows walked, one right behind another. And that ground was hard. And that ground didn't have grass on it. It was a path. That's what you have to understand the word for this morning. Some of that seed hit the path. And you know, when that seed would hit that path, it would just bounce right up off from the ground. And one of the things that was sad about that, the seed needs to take root. And that seed couldn't take root. So let's just see what Jesus said about it. A great crowd gathered about him. So he got into a boat, excuse me, and he sat down. The whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the pathway, and the birds came, and they devoured the seed. The farmer was sowing the seed, but some of it, the way that he was swinging his hand, some of it fell on the path, and that hard ground couldn't receive the seed. And that hard ground didn't receive the seed. And there was birds, and all of a sudden the birds came, and the birds gathered up all that seed. They ate the seed. That seed never got to produce what it was meant to produce. The seed was gone. All of a sudden, that soil becomes important to us. What made that soil hard? Well, I believe there's many different things, but we need to realize that the Lord Jesus is trying to teach us. When he went on to explain it, the Lord Jesus said, you know what? That seed was sown on the hard ground. And the enemy, he said, Satan came and took that seed away. The birds represent Satan taking that seed away. And so there was no response. So the seed, there was no birth of new crop. There was not going to be any fruit gathered from those seed. That's the seed of the hard heart. And we need to understand that God wants us to understand that this parable is there because that ground is hard. And now nothing is produced from that. And by the way, he said the seed was taken away by the birds, which he reminds us that Satan sometimes, when the seed is sown, if the heart is hard, he just takes the seed away. I got to have us understand, folks, that God wants us to know that this word of God is powerful. But when it falls on a hard ground, when it's not received with openness, it can't do its power. And besides that, the evil one, Satan, is there to gather it away from you. Say, that can't be true. Remember, that's what he did to Adam and Eve. He started with Eve. As God said, you couldn't eat of that tree. He put doubt in her mind. And then as a result of that doubt, She disobeyed God. And that's what Satan likes to do, put doubt in her mind. And sometimes he even takes the seed right away. Paul shared it in a different way in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He says, in this case, the God of the world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I believe each one of us need to open our eyes to see what God has done for each of us. And we need to realize that one time in the Bible, the Lord Jesus, our God's word, spoke about foul ground. Foul ground is ground that hasn't been plowed up for a while. And that kind of ground, it becomes hard. And you know, sometimes we've got areas in our life, even as a believer, you can have areas in your life that just doesn't receive the word of God because it's kind of like hard-hearted or hard ground. The seed just bounces off and then Satan takes the seed away. And we need to realize God wants us to turn over to him and receive him and to receive his word within our hearts and minds. We'll talk about that in just a few moments, but I need to give my voice just a little rest and I'll have us listen to a song. You know, Lord, I need you. That's the name of this song. And what I want us to do this morning is to realize that as we hear the word of God, that we need the teaching of God's word in our life. Otherwise, you're going to live life by the teachings of the things that you've been taught apart from God's word, apart from what we're seeing happen in our society today. And you know, God's word is needed. His word is a light unto my path. His word is a lamp unto my way. It shows me how to gain the things that I need to gain. So we'll just take a few moments and listen to this song, and then I'll be right back and share the rest of the message with you. God's special blessing upon you.
Bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. You're my hope and stay.
Yeah.
love those words. I hope they become a part of your life today. Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you in my life. I need your comfort of your word. I need the sense of your presence. Lord, I need you. And that's a special need that only Jesus can meet. And you know, sometimes this ground becomes hard because of religious things. I want to say this statement as I begin this next part of the message. Jesus didn't come to build another religion. There was a Jewish religion at that period of time, along with many other idol worshippers and things that were going on. Jesus didn't come to build another religion. Jesus came into this world as a baby. He did his ministry of teaching. He did his ministry of healing because he wanted people to know that he came to build a relationship, that God wanted a relationship with him. And he came to help build that relationship through the person of the Lord Jesus. And that he just didn't want another religious way of thinking, but he wanted a relationship where you and I would be his children, and he'd be our Father, where he'd be our God, and we'd be his believers. And God wants us to do that in our own individual life. No, I have always loved the story of Jesus when he was about 12 years old. He went with his mom and dad to the temple to worship, which they did once a year. They made that trip and they stayed there. But when they got ready to go, Jesus didn't go. He stayed at the temple. And you know, mom and dad, there's a big group of people there. And I got about a day's journey out, and they didn't find Jesus in the crowd. Oh, I imagine mom and dad's just frantic, you know. So then they got to go back home. So, but instead of going back home, they turned around and went back to Jerusalem, and they went to the temple. And when they got there, Jesus was about 12 years old, and he was sitting in the temple. And the scripture says that they found him sitting in the midst of all the teachers, both listening to them, what they were saying, and asking them questions. Now listen to what he did when he was 12. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. At first, the religious world was taken back by, man, this one, Jesus. He got information that we don't have. He has an understanding that we don't have. But as the time went on within the religious community, the Jewish religion of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, scribes, all those religious people, they all became like hard ground. They didn't receive the words of Jesus. They, when they were sitting listening to the 12-year-old, they were amazed at what he was saying. But now they've somehow, because of their religion, because of some of the things Jesus is saying, he's saying that they got all kinds of rules and regulations that religion has. I just came to build a relationship. I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that God has things for you to do for him. I want you to know that God wants to give you some promises. And Jesus said, I came into this world to help you build a relationship with God when you place your faith in what I've come to do. And so Jesus was busy about doing that. But the religious leaders did not respond to him. Then one day Jesus said this to the crowd, and I got to be upfront and honest with you. Jesus didn't back away from it. Matter of fact, I think he hit it head on. Now listen to what he's saying about these here religious leaders as probably near close to his 3 years of ministry. So near the end of his ministry, Jesus knew that the scribes and the Pharisees, He said they want to teach the way Moses teaches with authority, but that was never said about them. So be careful to do everything they tell you, but don't follow their example, because they don't practice what they preach. Now, if you're a religious leader of Jesus' day, and you hear him say, they don't practice what they preach, all of a sudden, you're going to get a little bit upset with that. Now, listen to what he goes on to say. They make loads that are hard to carry. They make a lot of rules and regulations. They lay them on your shoulders of the people. However, they're not willing to lift a finger to help move them. They don't do anything to help you. They just keep putting more and more burdens upon you. Say, you need to do this, you need to do this. They do everything to attract people's attention. They make their headbands large and their tassels on their shawls are long. They love the place of honor at the dinners. They love the front seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeters in the marketplace and to have people call them rabbi. They love all that stuff. But he went on to say in that chapter 23 of Matthew, seven times, listen to this statement that he made about them. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Say one thing and do another thing. And they heard that seven times, and they were ready to kill Jesus. They were ready to get rid of him. And Jesus was dealing with religious leaders that wanted to teach the Moses authority, but they didn't practice what they preached. And they loaded on others all kinds of rules and regulations. And Jesus said, that isn't why I came. I came into this world so that I could lead you into a relationship with God, a relationship of love and grace that God has for you. So let me say it again. Jesus didn't come to build another religion. Jesus came so that I, as an individual, could have a relationship with God. Jesus wants to come into your life so you can have a relationship with God. He wants you to know that God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to call him your Heavenly Father. He wants you to love the Lord Jesus. He wants you to respond to the Word of God. He wants that in a relationship, that he wants to show you how much Jesus loves you, to build that relationship in a way that God would have you have that relationship with him. It's individual. It's not saying it's something. God has something for you to do. And God has something he wants you to accomplish in your life. And you know, even if you've messed up, all of us mess up some. Even if you mess up and your life is a mess, Jesus wants you to know that he has something for you to do. He wants you to know that he is out for you as an individual. He comes seeking for you. He comes looking to bring you into a close relationship with him. You know how I know that? Because he did with me, but he also something that he did within the Bible. And we're sowing the Word of God today. There's a story that Jesus was headed past the town of Samaria. And Jesus was tired. And he said to his disciples, why don't you go into town and get us some food? So the disciples all headed into the town of Samaria to get some food. And Jesus was sitting there by the well that Jacob had built. And he was sitting there by the well when a woman came out from the city, the town as well. And she's got her containers to draw some water. She comes out at a time when nobody else is there. Because you know what? Her life, she's messed up. Her life is hard ground. She's living in shame. Jesus is sitting there at the well. and he's a Jew, and the woman is Samaritan. So he says to her, "Would you give me a drink?" She asked him, "How come you, being a Jew, would ask me for a drink of water? The Jews don't have anything to do with the Samaritans." So not only was this woman downplayed and walked over by other women, she was walked over because she was a Samaritan. And all of a sudden, there she is in the presence of a Jewish man. And he's asking her for a glass of water. And he's saying, "Why are you asking me for this water?" And Jesus told him, "If you would know who it was that's talking to you, you could ask of me and I'd give you living water." Oh, she got all excited and she said, "I would like that living water." And then Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband." And she said, "I have no husband." Jesus told her, "You have answered right. You say you don't have no husband, but you've had five husbands. And the man you're living with right now, you're not married to him. You know what? You told the truth." The woman said to Jesus, "I see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worship here on this mountain, but you Jews say we must worship in Jerusalem." "Indeed, the time is coming," Jesus said, "when the true worshipers of God, the Father, will worship him in spirit and in truth." It'll be a relationship with him. "Those who worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that when the Messiah comes, when he comes, he'll tell us everything." And Jesus looked at her and he said, "The Messiah is the one that's speaking to you right now." And you know what? All of a sudden, that woman left her water pots and she headed back to town. In the meantime, the disciples of Jesus came and they brought a lot of good food and they were hungry and they were eating food. Jesus wasn't eating so much. They said to Jesus, why aren't you eating food?" And Jesus said, "I have food to eat that you know not of." You know what his food was? To help somebody that had been trodden down. To help somebody that's been walked over all of her life. And all of a sudden, she's running back to the town. And you know what she did? She went and said, "Come and see this man. This man, I believe, is the Messiah. He said he was. And he's told me things that about my life that he has no way of knowing. This must be the Messiah." And so, you know what she did? She brought the entire town back with her. And they listened to Jesus teach. And Jesus was sowing the seed, the word of God. You know, that's one of the places where Jesus had a big crowd. It doesn't say anything about him doing healing. He was just teaching. He was teaching the healing things they needed for their life. You know, I think it doesn't tell us what all he taught them. But I have to believe that Jesus is saying, "I've come so that man can make a relationship with God. I've come so that I can be the go-between between you and God to help you understand his love." And you know what? Them all that townspeople, even though this woman was looked down upon because of being married five times and living with a man she wasn't married to now, all of a sudden, those townspeople were believing in Jesus as he listened to him teach. And he was sharing the word of God. And then in the bottom line, which I really like, it says, "And then they said to her," they asked Jesus, "Would you stay a couple of days?" And Jesus stayed 2 days and he taught them for 2 days. And many people believed in him And I love this, what they said. They said to the woman, "We believe not because of your sayings. We have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." The first one to recognize him as Messiah was these people from the city of Samaria who were looked down upon by the Jewish people. And the way he did that was he used a woman that had been trodden down in so many different ways. And he gave her a purpose for living. And he gave her a purpose for all of the answers for her life. That's what Jesus wants to do this morning for you and I. He wants to give us a relationship with him so we can understand the pathway that he has for us to travel. And you know what, folks? Satan today doesn't want you to respond to that. Oh, that was okay for that woman, but don't mean it'll do for you. God is saying to you this morning, this is what I want in your life. This is what I want to produce in your life. You know, I love the way Jesus taught. And one day he was talking in his Sermon on the Mount. He covered a lot of things on his Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things that he said one day, he said there's two gates in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, "Oh, I encourage you to enter through the narrow gate, because the gate and the road that lead to destruction are wide. Many enter through the wide gate, but the narrow gate and the road that leads to life are full of trouble. Only a few people find the narrow gate." You know what Jesus is saying? Sometimes this pathway gets hard because we made some wrong choices. I want us to think about these gates for a few moments. Every gate had a path that led up to the gate. Now we've got really modern in our day and age. I have a sidewalk that leads up to my gate, the door into our home. And that sidewalk is now the marking place. It's hard. If I sow seed on it, it would just bounce around. But you know something? That sidewalk is there for a purpose. It can teach me. Right next to that is a nice green grass. And it's starting to turn. At least I can see it. For a while, I couldn't see it because the snow covered it. But God's reminding us, folks, that this is a special blessing that he has for our lives. It is said, and I don't know this for sure, but the city of Jerusalem, it had something in between 12 and 15 gates. And every one of those gates had a path. And some of the gates were bigger than other gates. And the wide gate was used the most. So let's talk about this wide gate for just a moment. God said there's a wide gate at the beginning of your life, at the place you are in life right now. And that gate leads to that whatever's beyond this. And many are those who go into that wide gate. But I want to encourage you, Jesus is saying, go in through the narrow gate. Can you imagine all those people going into the wide gate? How that ground's going to get packed down? He said, that's not the path of life. That's a path that's going to lead to destruction. And you need to know that. You need to believe that. You need to understand that. Narrow is the gate that leads to life eternal. And you know, one time when Jesus was talking about that, he didn't use the word gate, but Jesus said, "I am the door. And by me, if any man enters in," now listen to this, he said, "I'll have fellowship with him, and he'll have fellowship with me." My last words I want to share before we sing listen to a song of how he made a change in me is a realization that that gate, he is saying to you and to me, that Jesus stands at that gate and he knocks and he asks for entrance. That he wants to come into you. He wants to have fellowship with you. And he wants you to have fellowship with him. He made a change in me. I'm hoping he's making a change in you. God bless you. Have a good week.
When Paul met the Lord on Damascus Road, he never was the same again. When Peter met the Lord, he left his boat and started fishing for men. Now I may not be Peter or Paul, but one thing I can truly say, when I met the Lord and made him my choice, he definitely made a change.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things passed away. Behold, everything's new.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
He made a change.
I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. He can make a change in me. He can make a change in you.
Now I've seen some old friends shaking their heads, 'cause they never thought they'd see the day when a sinner like me would praise the Lord or bow my head to pray. I'm not what I used to be. You see, my life has been rearranged. Well, it's nothing that I've done, but I have found someone who definitely made a change.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things passed away. Behold, everything's new.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
He made a
change. I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things passed away. Behold, everything's new.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
He made a
I'm
change.
Born again, set free, finally forgiven. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you.
Yeah, he made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking. He made a change in the way that I'm talking. All things passed away. Behold, change in me, he can make a change in you. I said if he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you.